So this is a mock QRR4, but we're doing 220 up to, and then 230 at the end, so 5 minutes. Ready. At one point, the stench from the rotting carcasses was so intense the primary school was forced to close. In a bid to curb a terrifying virus spreading among farmers, the Malaysian was deployed to kill the close to 1 million pigs in this sleepy region, miles south of Kuala Lumpur. Soldiers shot the animals until they ran out of bullets. Then they used wooden poles to destroy the pigs, according to local reports of the slaughter. The corpses were scooped up by diggers and unceremoniously dumped into deep muddy pits. The village was very smelly, says Hoon Kyung Go, who lost 4,000 pigs when the virus hit. It became very empty too. Almost everyone left. Very empty, very smelly. I couldn't recognise my home anymore. It was like a hell. In 1999, Sungai Nipah village was ground zero in an infectious disease outbreak that killed 105 people, infected a further 160, and destroyed a $1 million pig farming industry. It was a big tragedy, says Professor Dato C.T. Tan, a neurologist who treated many of the patients at the University of Malaya Medical Center, UMMC. You look at a family, two or three people were sick, some died, some were in a vegetative state, and it's not just their health. They'd lost everything because they had been pig farming for three generations. Initially misdiagnosed as Japanese encephalitis, prompting a mosquito spraying strategy that did nothing to prevent fatalities, scientists eventually discovered in March 1999 that they were dealing with a dangerous new zoonotic pathogen. They called it Nipah. More than two decades later, and despite repeated outbreaks, there are still no vaccines or drugs to specifically target the virus, which is deemed by the World Health Organization, WHO, and others to have serious epidemic potential. The virus, which inspired the film Contagion about a global pandemic, attacks the brain and has a fatality rate as high as 70%. Now survivors from the first outbreak are giving their blood to scientists racing to develop vaccines in a push to prevent a similar scenario ever unfolding again. Last year, Mr. Go blacked out while on his motorbike. It was a close call. Though he careened into the back of a lorry, he avoided any serious injuries. But the incident was a sign that the epileptic fits he's experienced since he recovered from Nipah virus are getting worse. The doctors have had to double my medication and I've been banned from driving, he says, looking away from the needle as a medic takes blood. Later, researchers will analyse these samples, searching for clues about how the virus operates. Mr. Go was just 27 when he was among the first cluster of cases in Sungai Nipah and a handful of neighbouring villages. His memories of what happened remain confused. He knows he collapsed and was rushed to hospital with a high fever, but his recollection of the ward and the doctors who treated him are hazy. But he does remember the terror of his first blackout. It happened just after he was eventually discharged. Nipah attacks the brain, causing encephalitis or swelling of the tissue, and the virus had left a permanent scar. I was very scared. I didn't know what was happening, he says. Epilepsy has changed my life. It's hard to work, but I still think I'm lucky. My business partner died. Jian Ji Li, who was 28 at the time, was also Mr. Go's best friend. Sometimes I think about the life he would have had. I think about that more than I think about the life I would have had without epilepsy. I still really miss him. Of those who survive Nipah, roughly 20% are left with long-term neurological conditions, including personality changes or seizure disorders. The pathogen can also linger in the body, sometimes causing problems much later in the 2 years following the Sungai Nipah outbreak. 10 people developed late onset encephalitis, while another 12 relapsed. Scientists have also documented how a 35-year-old woman suffered late onset brain inflammation in 2010, 11 years after she had an asymptomatic infection. In Kong Chong Wong's case, the pathogen attacked his eyesight. The 47-year-old pig farmer turned temple caretaker, whose mother and sister died during the outbreak, has had double vision since he was hospitalised with Nipah. He was one of the last people in the area to catch the virus in 1999. They weren't like this before, he says, pointing to his eyes. They're not aligned. If there's one person in front of me, I see two. Also, I can only write slowly and I dare not drive. Sometimes what happened here feels like a dream, Mr. Wong adds. But whenever I pass by the area where we used to keep our pigs, it reminds me of what happened. Nipah virus is regularly described as a terrifying disease due to its high fatality rate, the speed at patients deteriorate, and the long-lasting impacts. Listed by the World Health Organization as a priority pathogen with pandemic potential, it can rapidly attack the respiratory and central nervous system. The United States deems the virus a Category C bioterrorism threat, as it could be engineered for mass dissemination in the future. Symptoms of the respiratory disease vary. It often starts with a fever, headache, or myalgia, before developing into dizziness or confusion, which signals brain inflammation. In severe cases, people can become comatose within 24 hours. So a bit dramatic.